Warning, this podcast involves discussions of a spooky and graphic nature, not suitable for children or the faint of heart. Strong language and mature content is present. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned.
When you want to hear about the paranormal, you get the Spooked Girls. True crime that makes you hypothermal with the three Spooked Girls. Stabby snippets will give you dreams. Tara and Jessica will make you. Along with the Spooked Girls. Bring on the slaughter. We on that haunted ground. Spooked Girls. The three Spooked Girls.
Hey, Spooksters, and welcome back to another episode here on Three Spooked Girls. My name is Tara, and as always, I am joined with my favorite ghoul friend, Jessica.
Hello.
Hello. And today we are bringing you another cryptid. We are going to be talking about the Michigan Dogman today. And I am so excited. It's an interesting one for sure. But before we get started, if you are new here, we want to say hello and welcome. Thank you for checking out the podcast. And returning Spooksters, thank you for being here and supporting us. We love you so much. If you would like to hang out with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Our handle is at Three Spooked Girls. Or we have an amazing Facebook group that is our favorite internet corner called Three Spooked Girls Official. We talk about show things, of course, and also other positive things like puppies, cats, mugs, Halloween decorations, you name it. So if that's something you would like to do and you would like to hang out with Jessica and I on a more personal level to interact with us, we are in there all the time. If you have any questions, concerns, things like that for the podcast, you can DM any of our socials at any time, or you're welcome to email us at threespookedgirls@gmail.com. That's also the best place to submit your listeners' stories. We would absolutely love to have your guys' spookiest paranormal or true crime encounters for the end of this month. And if you would like to support the show, we have Patreon as well. We're at patreon.com/threespookedgirls. Or if you head to the show notes, there is a link tree with everything revolving us. For as little as a dollar, you get a bonus episode each month. And then it goes up from that. 2 and up gets 2 more episodes of Jessica Slaughter's movie reviews and plot lines. 5 and up, that's where you start getting video content, including live streams and my Haunted Ground series, which is on haunted objects. And I bring you a caffeinated beverage recommendation. Also, right now for Spooktober, if you join at our 5 or higher tier, we are, while supplies last, adding in a spooky enamel pin. And I've posted those on the socials so you can see them. There's about 5 or 6 different ones, and we purchased a good little chunk of them. So if you would like that with all the other swag, please feel free to sign up. You can also do annual. And if you do our annual option, you actually get a month for free. So super cool about that. But before we get into our promo break for the episode, I'm going to give it to Jessica to tell us what our drink this week is.
So we are talking about the Michigan Dogman. And though I could not find a Dogman-related cocktail, I did find a Michigan Big Blue Spritzer recipe on Delish.com.
Ooh.
So in the words of our dear, wonderful friend Elisa from Fatalities, go blue. You make this drink with blue curacao, rum, a handful of ice, and some Sprite. You combine the rum and the curacao together and then pour into a large glass and top with ice and Sprite.
Ooh, a simple one. I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to take our quick promo break and we will be right back.
Sector Southeast just called. There was a shooting over at Point Judith. 4 dead, no wounded. Suspect is the BM-1 over there.
This was it. The source. The beacon for those things. I drew my pistol and fired into it.
Ugh, shit. This is too much, Roger.
Senior, how are we supposed to operate after something like this?
You gunned them down as they came down the ladder and stepped over the body.
The light was a bloody, beating heart.
Shadows. Dark shapes.
Boston Harbor Horror presents Occulting 315.
All right. Well, welcome back, guys. We hope you enjoyed that promo break. Like we said, we are going to be talking about the Michigan Dogman today. I am going to be bringing you the backstory and lore and some encounters. And then I'm going to give it to Jessica, our movie queen, and she's going to tell us about her cinematic journey she had involving Dogman.
Yeah, we are.
That's all we got to say for the precursor for that. All right. So the Michigan Dogman is described as being an agile 7-foot-tall creature having blue or amber eyes, is a bipedal canine-like animal with a man torso and a humanoid-type howl that sometimes has been described as to sound like a human scream. So that's terrifying. According to the lore, the creature seems to appear every 10 years, typically favoring a year that ends with 7, so like 1987. That year will come up in just a second. It's noted that in the Michigan sightings, Dogman is typically seen in the northwest area of the Northern Peninsula. There also have been reports of Dogman encounters in other states as well, but we'll get more into that in a bit. So, 1987, which automatically made me think of American Horror Story, but that has nothing to do with this.
True.
That was Richard Ramirez. But in 1987, this is when it kind of seems like the cryptid gained popularity. So, there was a radio station called, and it might still be functioning, I don't know, WTCM-FM, and they were gearing up for April Fool's Day, and according to their DJ named Steve Cook, they were kind of scrambling for content at this time. Like, they didn't really have anything planned, they didn't have anything ready to go, that kind of thing. So from interviews and stuff, it was basically like, hey Steve, come up with something. Okay, cool, bye. And he was like, okay. And this is something that would be known as the Dogman song. Now, more than likely, I probably would get yelled at by someone for copyright for playing this song. So I'll post it on socials, more than likely in the Facebook group, so you can listen to it there. But what's interesting with this is that it's said that it started as a poem that Steve wrote. And he swears up and down that he had no idea who Dogman was at all. He said he had some dream of this weird creature and decided to base it off that. You will find out things about him that make him maybe not so credible later, so you can do what you want with that. Anyways, so he wrote the poem and then he overlaid it on some song and did this whole thing and played it on the radio show. Well, he was like, okay, it's just gonna be some stupid little thing and that's that. But after that, calls started coming in and he was kind of like, what the fuck? And people are like, wait a minute, I've seen that thing. And I've been in the woods and that thing's ran in front of my car, et cetera, et cetera. Things like that. He's like, what the fuck? He thought people were just messing with him because, you know, April Fool's Day. But it was like flooded with calls from like all kinds of people. And he even said later on in an interview I read that, quote, enough credible people have told me incredible stories. Maybe there is something going on out there and we just happened to hit the right note, end quote. And he would actually go on later to add into the song in some encounters, which I'll tell you about some of them in a minute. And this song was updated twice. He did it once in 1997 and then again in 2007. And the video I have is, I'm assuming, after the most recent update, because the song included the very first encounter, which I'll tell you guys about in a second, and some other encounters. But fun fact, he sold the song on cassette, because, you know, this is the 80s, and he sold them for $4 a piece. And instead of keeping the profits, he actually donated them to a local animal shelter there in his area. So I thought that was really cool. So once all of these experiences started coming to light, it was noted that the first documented Dogman encounter was actually way back in 1887, so 100 years before this song decided to pop up into the airwaves. And it was said to have happened in Wexford County, Michigan. And it was said that two men who were described as either loggers or lumberjacks came in contact with him. And fun fact, I was like, okay, are these the same thing or different? So of course I Googled it. And it told me that, and this makes total sense after I read it. It said the loggers are the ones that, quote, harvest trees, while lumberjacks are the ones who fell the trees, aka cut them down. And obviously, I knew what a lumberjack was. Fun fact, in high school on career day, when we had spirit week to dress up, one year I dressed up as a lumberjack and my friend's dad made us wooden axes and we carried around that and also a jug of maple syrup.
I just had the lumberjack song stuck in my head.
Oh, God. I don't think I've ever heard that. Anyways, so these lumberjacks, they said that they had spotted a creature with the body of a man, but a head of a dog. And interesting thing about Dogman and the encounter stories is that he doesn't really seem to come off as malicious. Like, yes, people see him, but he never seems to kill them. So honestly, my opinion is Dogman is out there just, you know, prancing around through the woods and trying to mind his own fucking business. But, you know, people interrupt that sometimes. I just kind of have this mental picture of him like dancing through the woods and it just made me laugh. So some of you delivered with our vampire cow last year. So if you want to draw Dogman prancing through the woods, I would not be mad at that.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Now, as far as other encounters go, you know, it's like all cryptids or lores. There's inconsistencies. There's a lot of other noteworthy encounters when I was reading and stuff that didn't fit into that mold of every 10 years slash every year ending in a 7. So it's like one of two things. It either that was the narrative the DJ kind of put out, because like if you remember, I said he updated his song every 10 years. So could have been something like that. Or, you know, it's just a spooky lore that it's like telephone. Everybody tells it different at some point, and here we are. So another interesting account came from 1938, and this involved Robert Fortney. He was age 17, and he was said that when he was out in Paris, Michigan, near a river, he came into contact with a, quote, massive black dog. And apparently, he didn't tell anyone about this until 1987. Going to assume maybe the song had something to do with that. Who knows? But he would go on to say that this, quote, dog was on its hind legs and, quote, stared him down with piercing blue eyes. And he said that he, you know, he had his weapon with, he had like, I don't know what kind of weapon, but shot at it and it fled away because obviously he was trying to scare it off. And when discussing about his encounter and stuff, he also just said, quote, it may be that I was just scared, but I swear the dog was smiling at me, which is creepy.
Dogs smile. They could be happy.
Because see, Dogman's prancing through the woods, so he was just happy. So another encounter I saw come up was, again, not in a year that ends with 7, but it was from a little girl. Her name was Courtney, and she was 13 at the time of this, and she had her encounter with Dogman in 1993. Her family home was in Reed City, Michigan. She had said she was sneaking out for a cigarette behind her family's house that winter. Courtney had said that while she was out, she caught a glint of light seeping out from the planks of the abandoned barn that they had. And obviously that got her attention because nothing should have been in there. No one should have been in there. And she said that she followed its movement and then realized, oh shit, there is something in there. And recalls that it was a, quote, 6-foot-tall thing with the head of a dog. And she said that it was staring right at her. Obviously, she got scared and fucking ran away because, like, duh, who's gonna fucking hang around, wait, see what that is? And then later, her neighbor would actually confirm that they also had seen the dog man in Courtney's family barn, describing it as a, quote, buffalo-sized dog, which I'm like, wow, what shitty neighbors for not calling them or telling them, like, there's a big-ass animal in your fucking barn. Like, no, it's fine. Let them get eaten. It's okay.
Right?
Now, with Dogman, there is video evidence that was extremely popular and was actually thought to be the most credible source of proof of the Dogman for a really long time. This is called the Gable film, so if you're familiar with this cryptid, you'll know exactly what this is. It was supposedly filmed during the 1970s by a man named Mike Agrusa while he was out on a hike. But sorry to burst anyone's bubble who's like, oh my God, how exciting. No, it was a hoax, which if you've watched it, you probably aren't too shocked. I wasn't too shocked to find that out. But Mike apparently came out later and was like, yes, this was fake. And that actually our friend DJ Steve Cook was involved with it. So there's that.
Oh.
Yes. And I'll post this one too. But when I watched it, my first reaction was, this is a human in a bear suit with a wolfman slash werewolf type mask on. Like, that's what it looked like. And the story with that, some articles were saying like, oh, it was some kind of like found footage type thing. You know, the person was on a hike and got eaten and da da da. And everyone's like, well, where'd the camera come from? How did someone magically find it before it got damaged or ruined? Why didn't it get damaged when he got eaten and all this other shit? So I'm like, weird. And then we have Mike and he's like, but Mike's alive. So who died? I'm like, oh, this was a dumpster fire.
Sounds like it.
Right? Along the kind of like found footage lines, there was something I found extremely interesting. There was an encounter in Troy, Michigan back in 2006, so kind of a little bit more recent. It was said that a man was driving down the road when a, quote, great big dog that was standing up appeared on the road in front of him. And in a lot of encounters of people driving, this happens. He said he would swerve to not hit it. You know, that's obviously some people's reaction, but that's obviously not the safest option most of the time. And this was the case with him. They went off the road and flipped the car. Luckily, him and his passenger, who I believe he said was his wife, didn't get hurt, and they were able to use his OnStar in his car. And that recording of that is out there. It actually went viral, and all I can post that one as well. But it very much sounds like something of a horror movie. And I mean that honestly, like in the best possible way. So many, many people are really skeptical if that was even true or not. But it's still an interesting listen for sure. And honestly, like there are so many encounters. So if you like to read those kind of things, head to our sources page. But I do want to delve into one other little aspect of this cryptid before we go on our cinematic adventure with Jessica. Because when I was doing my research, I ended up rabbit holing a bit. And like I mentioned earlier, there have been reports of encounters in other states. Some of those areas that Dogman has been seen are in Wisconsin, Indiana, in Mississippi. And with the different regions, there's actually a whole another cryptid type of creature that's thought possibly to be Dogman called the Beast of Bray Road. And this creature is fairly similar for the most part. It's described as a bear-like Bigfoot who stands 7 feet tall on its hind legs and is about 2 to 4 feet tall when on all fours. It also is described sometimes as like a werewolf-like creature, and it has been seen by many people while driving, which I mentioned that just a moment ago for Dogman as well. And this beast is said to leave scratches on the cars when he's running by them type of thing. And there's actually, which is kind of weird, been multiple reports of animal mutilation in the area near Bray Road, like done by an unknown creature.
Oh.
Yes. And there's also apparently a horror movie that was released on the Beast of Bray Road in 2005 called Asylum.
Oh.
So there's another movie for you to watch if you would like. So, like I said, I fell down a rabbit hole and I came across this website called dogmanencounters.com. What's interesting with this is they actually suggest that Dogman is not a singular thing. It's multiple creatures. And they actually said this Dogman, Dogmen, is linked to the Egyptian god of the underworld, Anubis. Which, if that's the case, they also suggest that there could have been different dogmen all over the world and all throughout history type of thing. And with the whole dogmen species, there's actually two types as well, which is interesting. And those pictures will be on socials for you guys too. The first type of dogman is called canine dogman, and that's pretty much exactly what it sounds like to me. It looks, I don't know how to describe it besides a werewolf. And actually, I can tell you, because they also describe it as a kind of hyena type of thing that stands on its hind legs as well.
Oh.
It's said that this type of dogmen are actually more prone to aggressive behaviors, so the scratching of the cars and all of that would fit in with this type. The other type of dogman is called type 3 dogman, and this type is more on the humanoid side of features. Basically, this one is kind of reminds me more of a mix of Bigfoot and a dog is the easiest way to describe it, is how it looks. Rather, it has like human type legs versus the canine legs and arms and things like that. They are said, yes, they are less aggressive than the canine type, but to still be cautious if you come across this type of dogman because they can still be dangerous. And honestly, like I said, if you are interested in this cryptid, definitely check that website out. They break encounters down by state and different regions across the world. It's like people have submitted it to them and stuff. So it's really interesting. And they kind of go into the historical side with like the Egyptians and stuff too. So you can read up on that if that interests you. So that's kind of the background and history on the Michigan Dogman. But before I hand it over to Jessica, we're going to take a quick break from today's sponsor.
Have you ever wondered if your house was haunted? It's time to say hello to the bump in the night.
This October, the Haunted Walk is inviting you to take part in a massive paranormal experiment. The Haunting at Home is an online interactive audio experience you can do right in your own house, apartment, or creepy cabin in the woods.
This ghostly adventure will challenge you to conduct a series of paranormal experiments in the dark. It's the perfect night of spooky fun if you love ghost stories or enjoy the thrill of trying to contact the other side.
Start ghost hunting tonight at thehauntedwalk.com/thehaunting and use our promo code SPOOKEDGIRLS for 20% off your ghost hunting adventure.
Okie dokie. So if you look up on different streaming platforms, there's this one that came out in like 2019 called Dogman. It has nothing to do with the cryptid. I was like, I watched like the first few minutes and I was like, oh, this is not what I want. So you want the 2012. It was on Amazon Prime, but recently has been removed. But I do have a summary for you of this film. So there's this guy. His name is Hanklin. Yeah, that's right. His name is Hanklin. And he enjoys the outdoors and he loves to hunt. And he and his wife, whose name is Dorothy, live on a farm in the rural Midwest, which is, they do mention in the second movie. I don't know if in the first movie they do, but in the second movie, they definitely say it's Michigan. And for some reason, during the hunting season, weird things start to happen. And basically at first, pets go missing, you know, those type of things. So they assume that they're these wild animals. So people go out to look and then they end up getting injured and die. First, they think it's a human, but then they realize it's not and they're not sure what it is and they go to stop it. And then they end up finding out it's these big dogmen. And let me tell you, remember earlier when Tara was describing the video from the 70s with the guys that were like in bear costumes with the Wolverine mask or the werewolf mask? Same quality.
Oh, good.
Only difference is that they actually had those, like, you know, those stilts that they put actors in so they can play like half animal.
Yeah.
Which is really funny because in the second one, there's all of these dogmen in the road. And like one of the actors you can tell cannot get his balance because he's just constantly moving. And the rest are like still. And he's just like slightly like stepping. It was funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, also, here's an interesting fact. If the dogman scratches you, he has deadly bacteria under his nails that will kill you.
Oh.
You get infected and you die, which happens to a dude named Sam. I know this because I watched the second one. It's not in the summary. And they keep referring back to when Sam died. And I think it's Hanklin's nephew. But Hanklin has a neighbor by the name of Frances. She's an Indigenous American. And she basically finds this like ancient antidote, which is a special kind of like moss that if you put in the wound, you won't die. So like Hanklin gets scratched, but she puts it in there. And basically at the end of that movie, oh, there's another character in there you need to know for the second movie, Deputy Meg. So she's out there and it's like that whole like, we're going to go out and like, there's nothing out here. I'm a cop. You got to listen to me. But then it turns out that there's something out there and the cop is like part of the rescue plan. Very like Stranger Things. So they go out and they go to hunt and people have died. And at the end of this movie, this is what I know. At the end of the movie, the dog man is actually a mom dog man. And she gives Frances one of her puppies. And Frances leaves town unexpectedly and doesn't say anything. So that's the end of that movie. And they all think everything is done. Well, let's flash forward a whole year. And now we're in Dogman 2, The Wrath of the Litter.
Oh boy.
I literally had to pause to like go do something and I looked down. Because I was multitasking, I didn't actually realize how much time had lapsed. But it was like, I don't know how long this movie is. It's like maybe an hour and a half, two. It was that like I only had 20 minutes left, 23 minutes left of the movie, and they were still setting everything up.
Oh no, ew.
By the way, this movie, I looked it up, is budgeted. They spent $1 million on this thing.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, excuse me, what? It was not good. But they also estimated that they made $1 million, so I don't know if that's true. So the movie starts, and it's like the longest fucking opening of my goddamn life. And it starts with this like guy on the phone with his, I'm assuming, significant other, and they've had a fight. He gets off the phone and throws a bouquet of flowers out the window. And you know it's old because they literally have a flip phone. Like that's what he's on, is a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws them out. And then a little while later, something fucks up with his tire. So he gets out and fixes it. And the whole time he's like, there's something out there. Like he's obviously creeped out. And he fixes it. And then he gets into his car to leave. And he realizes his keys are in the trunk latch.
Oh, gasp.
Oh, no. So then he has to get out. And when he gets out, what do you think is waiting for him?
Is it Dog Man? Dog Mom? Someone?
It's not Dog Mom. It's one of the dog puppies.
Oh.
But he's a full grown 7-foot, like giant, you know, horrible costume. Anyway. And it's so funny. So he gets his key and he's like, oh no, I'm being attacked. And it's like that cheesy, like really bad B movie where they're like, no, don't hit me. And it's like the dog swipes at his hand and it pops off, but it's like hanging. And you can clearly see that it's like the fakest hand. Like you went to Spirit of Halloween and bought this thing.
Oh God.
Like they didn't spend their $1 million on their props, let me tell you. And then he hits him in the head and then he just dies. And then the cops come and all this. And remember Deputy Meg? Well, Deputy Meg is no longer a cop. She's given it up. And she is now a bartender. But while she's at work, she listens to the radio, the scanner. And she hears this. So she races out there. Also, what happened is the paramedic comes out to help the guy, right? While they're out there, a deputy gets hit in the back of the head with a rock. And this paramedic sees it. And then he runs out of it. Tries to get in his truck and leave. And then this dog man, who is just like, I really feel like they could not find a tan head because it was like a tan suit and then a black head. It was like, oh, we just didn't match today, did we? It was bad looking. I was like, oh God. Okay. So he's like fighting it. You can obviously tell that these are like humanoid because the way they do things, like what humans would do, like a wolf would not be like pawing,
yeah,
maybe swatting, not like trying to unlock the, yeah, it's just,
yeah.
Also, anytime the dog is running through the forest, it's an actual dog.
Shut up.
It's like a dog or a wolf, like running, right?
Oh God.
No, it's horrible. So then all of a sudden, like, the dog doesn't even look like the character.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
They didn't, like, you know, dye the costume to match the dog they got. So it's, like, this dog that's, like, looks more like Chloe, and then all of a sudden it stands up, and it's a tan lion. It reminds me, like, they stole it from, like, an elementary school or a high school production of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no.
And then just stuck, like, a werewolf mask on top.
Oh, man.
So they end up thinking they've killed it, right? The sheriff shot it, and they're like, oh, no. So anyway, Meg gets out there, and is like, guys, we gotta go. But the sheriff is like, no, I'm going out into the woods. Hands her a gun. She does that, like, really badass one-handed cock the shotgun thing where you like kind of toss it up, and she's like, I think I still know how to use this. I was like, oh God, who wrote this? The guy who plays Hanklin, because he's in this movie, he's always like the best friend that nobody likes in TV shows. I'm like, someone gave him his own movie. And in this one, he has like this weird thing with his sister-in-law, who's just like a total bitch for no fucking reason. Maybe I missed it in the first movie because I didn't see it. She like destroys his guns. She's like a vegetarian or a vegan and like says, look, I picked up dinner. And he's obviously like a meat eater. He's like, well, I can't tell. Is this pork? Is this beef? And she's like, it's tofu. And it's crazy. And then she just like does weird shit to him and he ends up kicking her out and she drives off in her Saab. And at one point when he discovers that she does to his gun, she sticks it in a vise and like bends the barrel.
Oh.
He goes after her and she drives off in her car and he jumps on this beach cruiser of a bicycle and like pedals and is like keeping up with her.
Oh my God.
It's just, I'm like, oh God. Basically, Hanklin and Dorothy meet up later with Meg and Francis because Francis has magically come back into town all of a sudden. And Meg is like, where's the dog man puppy? And she's like, oh, Sadie. And she's like, you named it? And she's like, it was like a big Newfoundland puppy until just a few weeks ago. And then she started standing on her hind legs and doing weird things and then looking at me evil. So I brought the dog with me and she's in a kennel down the road, but there's no other animals in there. Bullshit. They were like, when they showed, it was like 7 dogs they had to like pan through to get to the fence that was ripped with the tufts of hair at the bottom. And so to not make this go any longer, Hanklin, Dorothy, and Meg all like prevent this like group of men from going out and hunting them because Francis is like, she's my dog and I love her. Francis leaves to go find her. Meg's like, we gotta go get her. They come out and they find the sister-in-law's car out there, which makes zero sense. The sister-in-law moves the story, barely moves the story along at all. Until like the very last second. Then they get out into the woods and they find 2 of the dogmen, because there's 5 puppies and then the mom dogmen. They find 2 of them dead. Then they find Francis, who was knocked out, but not like knocked out like bad, because apparently if a dogman hits you with any object, you just die. They're that powerful. And it's like, you don't just die. Like when the paramedic tried to run away and it hit them, it was just like the dogman went like, phew. And then, like, he was on the ground and his back of his neck was, like, exploded.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, their props dude was like, yeah. I'm gonna buy cheap shit, but it's gonna be amazing. So they find Francis. Also, oh, in the first one, they are driving around a snowmobile, not in the snow. And then the snowmobile goes missing. It's Hanklin's. And they're like, do you think the dogman figured out how to drive it? And then they find Francis. And then Francis goes and looks at the 2 dogs that are dead and realizes one is Sadie and is really sad and is like crying. So then they're like, we have to find them. And then as they're leaving, the dog mom runs up because she's chasing the sister-in-law. But the dog mom like spares them and they fit like Francis all of a sudden has this epiphany like all the puppies were bad. So she has to kill them all. Then they're like, we better leave. And they go to leave and they get back. And the sister-in-law is like, I can't drive. Can someone drive my car home? And Hanklin's like, I'll do it. And he goes over and he's like, oh, the keys are inside. And he like turns around, right? And as he turns around, one of the dogman puppies runs up. And then I'm like, oh, shit, Hanklin's dead. But it was like 45 seconds of awkward standing there staring at one another. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes a golf club and just hits the dogman. Because also, if you just hit a dogman, they die.
Okay.
Zero sense. Come on. You could have made it really hard to kill them. Like you had to hit them in a specific spot or I don't know. But it's the sister-in-law. She saves Hanklin. And then they all drive off and go home. The fucking end.
Wow. What a cinematic adventure. I feel like with movies like that, that are that low budget, you can make fun drinking games out of them.
Oh, yeah, you could totally make fun of every time they make like this really big deal about the dogmen, but then go and have a beer. They're like, the dogmen are out there terrorizing it. What should we do? I know. Let's sit around and drink beer together. Or let's go get coffee. Or I gotta stop these dogmen. You know what I should do? I should leave the paramedic who doesn't know how to use the gun by himself. So that's that movie.
Wow. Yeah, fun times. I was also thinking you could do like drinking every time they show the wolf dogs running, the real wolf dogs running, and then it pans back to the fake one.
Right. And sometimes it made zero sense. And it was like the same. It was like they paid for the dog to run through the forest one time.
And just repeated it.
And then they're like, every time, let's just invert it.
Oh my God, that's funny. Oh gosh. All right, guys. Well, that is going to wrap us up here today for our episode on the Michigan Dogman. Let us know what you think about this cryptid. And if you've somehow seen that movie, let us know your thoughts on that as well. We will go ahead and sign off. We will see you on Thursday for a Stabby Snippet. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.